Greetings, dear listeners, and welcome to Real Skiers with Jackson Hogan. In today's episode, I explain just how the ski boot market works, what are its organizing principles, and how to determine where you fit into the grand scheme of things. Let's begin with the big picture. Boots are organized around sizing, which we can also characterize as fit, and flex, or how stiff or soft the boot feels when the skier flexes the upper cuff. Let's focus first on fit. Sizing is organized by two principal measurements, foot length and foot width, or more accurately, as far as ski boots are concerned, foot volume. If that's all there was to it, the average boot fit wouldn't require an hour or more. Length is measured in centimeters. This is true of all alpine boots. So a 26.5 foot measures 26.5 centimeters. All references to American sizing, or European sizing, or any other sizing is irrelevant, because the one trait all alpine ski boots share is the sizing system. By the way, there's no such thing as half sizes in ski boots. A 26.0 and a 26.5 is the same boot. Don't let the fact that ski boots seem to imply half sizes exist throw you. There's no such animal. The point to underscore here, if you're not trying on boots in the shell size you measure, there better be a very good reason for it, and it can't be because your toes touch the end, because your toes will always touch the end of the correctly sized boot when you first put it on. The boot must first be buckled and flexed several times to position the foot properly in the boot. The toes won't come completely off the end of a new boot until the process has progressed a little further. The right width, or volume, is also critical. Every boot model has a specified width, described as small, medium, or wide, or in some instances, low volume, mid volume, or high volume, or conversely as 98 millimeters, measured at the widest point of the forefoot, for narrow, 100 millimeters for medium, 102 millimeters for wide, and 104 for jumbo. Here's the catch on volume sizes. They vary with length. In other words, a 27.5 shell will be wider than a 26.5 shell simply by dint of being longer. The given width number for the model, such as 98, actually only applies to the 26.5. There's also some wiggle room regarding length sizing and sole length. Both Rossignol and Dalbello make some models that measure 3 millimeters longer than the norm, creating a little extra toe room in any given size. Before I get lost in the willows of boot-fitting nuances, let's keep our eye on the big picture. Fit isn't the only important factor. The second primordial factor is flex, or how firmly the upper cuff resists the skier's efforts to move it forward. Determining the right flex is complicated by the skier's ability to flex the ankle joint with sufficient force to move the cuff. Any expert can execute this simultaneous flex at ankle and knee in his or her sleep. But for neophytes, this movement must be learned. Any good boot fitter can coach the uninitiated who possess at least a trace of athleticism into learning this essential action. Flex is as important as fit for both technical and commercial reasons. On the technical side, too soft a boot, the most common error, does a lousy job of transferring the skier's movements to the ski. The boot has to be stout enough to resist the skier's flexing action, but not so stiff that the skier can't budge it. A boot that prevents the skier from flexing forward, that in essence eliminates any ankle range of motion, will be a liability on the hill. It will inhibit, if not prevent, any skills development. So, to determine, once and for all, if a given flex is right for you, try the next boot up on the flex index range. If you strain to budget, you know you've gone one step too far. On the commercial side, flex matters because it is directly tied to price. A 130 flex boot will always cost more than a 120 flex boot, and so on down the line. Remember, a softer flexing boot that is essentially too soft for you is not a bargain. It's a mistake you'll live with a decade or more. Probably your boots will die sometime around its 7th or 8th birthday, but never mind that. Note as you climb up the flex price ladder, flex isn't all that changes. The bottom of the scale, for men around 80, for women as low as 60, isn't made from the same materials as the top of the line, and everything about them, from the buckles to the liner, will be inferior. In my opinion, first price point boots aren't worth buying. Rent until you're ready to buy something worth owning. The top of the line, a 130 Flex for all but true race boots and their ilk, will usually have a different inner boot and top strap than the 120 of the same model. Also, wider boots tend to be softer than narrower ones. As a rule, the narrower the chassis, the stiffer the flex for a given number. Put another way, a 130 HV, or high volume, is likely to be softer than a 130 LV, or low volume. If you're wondering why all 130s don't feel the same, it's because there are no standards governing boot flex. The issue has been examined for years, decades actually, and it turns out the issue of flex measurement is quite complex, resisting all efforts at consensus. This is just one of the many reasons you can't go into the forest of boot fitting without a guide. Do you know which 130s are actually stiff and which are relatively soft? Do you know which brand has the narrowest 98 and which has the widest 102? Do you know how to go find an extra millimeter of toe room should you need it? Remember, if you self-describe as an expert, your boot fitter is quite likely to assume you know certain essentials that might therefore go unmentioned during your fitting process. Primordial among these presumptions are 1. That you know the value of using a proper thin ski sock and would never dream of wearing two pairs to solve a fit issue. Nor would you ever stack one insole on top of another, for that matter. 2. We presume you have a custom insole that most likely can be transferred to your new boots. If you don't have a custom insole, you have a drop-in that roughly matches your arch. If you have neither and are using a stock insole, the ultimate nothing burger of a device, you are overdue for an upgrade. It's not an option. No bootmaker expects an expert to ski with its stock insole. They expect it to be replaced before it can ever be used. And finally, we presume you know your own history with sporting footwear and know what has worked best for you in the past. Great boot fitting requires great communication on both sides of the boot bench. To put a bow on today's present of a podcast, I want to return to a couple of points I made earlier. The boots you are going to buy this year will probably be with you for a decade or more. Do not let $100, the usual cost of stepping up one rung on the flex index ladder, prevent you from getting the boot that will best serve you both now and in the future. $100 will barely buy lunch for two at most destination resorts. Don't let it stand between you and your best possible boot. Not to belabor the obvious, but you ski with your feet. If your feet hurt, that's all you're going to think about. Just like a bad toothache is all you can think about when you have one, so are bad boots or even good boots that fit badly. That's no way to live, and certainly no way to ski. If you haven't done so already, make an appointment with the boot fitter at your favorite specialty ski shop. It could be the most important hour you spend in your skiing for the next 10 years. This has been your host, Jackson Hogan, for Real Skiers with Jackson Hogan, wishing all my dear listeners a happy holiday season. A special shout-out today to Lloyd and Mooney Tinsley, who flew out to Reno from their home in Norman, Oklahoma, so I could outfit them in new skis. They're up on the hill today, where I hope they're having a ball in all our new snow. Just letting you know I appreciate you, as I do all my dear listeners. Thanks for listening.